but, you know.
We are recording now, but you still have a minute till you can start.
You want to turn official tomorrow? You gonna go turn official tomorrow?
Friday.
Friday?
Why do you wanna go?
I'm gonna go tomorrow night with the assembly.
On your boat?
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
Okay, we're gonna bring this meeting to order Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, at 2 p.m. Get a roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Roy?
Here.
Richard is not here.
Do we have any modifications, additions, and/or changes to the agenda as written?
No.
Ken?
No.
Sharon?
No.
Gary?
Nope.
At this time, we're gonna give the board the opportunity, to declare any potential conflict of interest to this agenda as written. Joe?
Nope.
Ken?
No.
Sharon?
No.
Roy? No. Richard is not here. Can we get a motion to approve the agenda as written?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Can I get a second, please?
I second it.
Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. We have one email, public comment, that I will read. It's from Cliff Kirschenk. It is in, regards to us converting the Kiteville to an 18 to 20 site park, RV park sites. Mr. Kirschenk says, "It's sad that the port is thinking about getting rid of the Kiteville and turning it into a 18 to 20 site RV park. RV City on a sand spit that is in danger of being wiped out by global warming. This rising ocean is already creating havoc on the sand spit. My concern is for the salmon nursery, also known as the boat basin. The quality of the water within should be top priority for everyone who appreciates fishing for and eating salmon. My suggestion is downsize to around half the amount, 8 to 10 RV sites, or just leave it as it is until global warming, rising sea levels, or longer like that." Thank you, Mr. Kirschenk. Action items. Number 4, action item A. Gary?
All right, the new port office, COVID-19 compliance. So last meeting, last week, unable to attend because my wife had an emergency.
Totally understood.
Yeah.
She's doing fine, I hope.
Yeah, she still has a minor headache, but yeah, she had a severe migraine.
So we wish her all well.
Yep. Thank you. Okay. So last week in the meeting, commissioners had some questions about the some siding and roofing. Some warranty.
Gary, wait a second. Danielle, can you give him that mic and see if that picks it up some? I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time. I lost one of my hearing aids, and I've got only got one, and it's, these corona masks just suck them right out your head.
Well, you lost it because of the coronavirus.
I can't get a new one.
I can't.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy. Okay, so last meeting, we had some comments about the building, about siding, roofing, some warranty issues, and some time frame if we had some damaged materials. So we found some more information from Rhino that they can actually modify this building to actually have more weight load on the roof. And also the siding can be whatever you want to be on the siding, but it'd be additional cost. It's that third party cost on all these things. Pretty much you tell them what you want on the building, then they can engineer it. So we did get a couple more quotes from Rhino. They're the most responsive group that we've been talking to, providing us some data. So this information's in the packet. I put in a rough estimate of construction schedule. And after looking at the construction schedule, I'm a little nervous about getting a contractor, getting all this work done in the time frame of the COVID compliance period, I guess you can call it, where you get refunded. I don't think we're gonna be able to find a contractor to do this in a timely manner. So that's one of my fears. So I kind of put some alternative ideas of what we could possibly do for the time being. And I kind of left that open for discussion.
Where are your options, Gary?
On the second page, on page three, kind of about halfway down the middle there. So I listed four things. Remodel the existing office, which I don't particularly like that idea. Rent out another office space somewhere else. That creates problems. Option from trying to work from home. I think that's gonna be kind of difficult for everybody to work from home and dealing with the issues here at the port. Another option is buying materials. Have the port buying the materials and get reimbursed, hopefully, and then find a contractor later to do the building. That's an option, or continue working the best we can with masks and do what we can do, what we're currently doing.
Well, my question is, since the last meeting, it's my understanding that the governor's criteria is a mask and 6 feet. Plexiglass at the front counter. I mean, the roof's not leaking. I personally don't think the timing is good myself, especially since when Travis was telling us last meeting, that money is not guaranteed. And with this COVID, you know, the stimulus check, second stimulus check, what an ordeal that's been. We're gonna get it, we're not gonna get it, how much is it gonna be? So if this money is not set in stone and it's time sensitive and we don't get a contractor, we don't get this builder directed or bought and materials in time and get we're looking at depleting our reserves at one swoop shop here. And to me, that's a crapshoot. I've never gambled in my life, ever. Not at Las Vegas. I've gambled other places. With the reserves, we worked really hard to get where we're at financially. We're extremely hard. We've made it through the shutdowns so far. Now our shutdowns are extended through December. Now with all this smoke, there's no telling what our local state government's going to do. With the office being functional, I haven't been in the front office. Is there plexiglass in the front office? Okay. So we have a barrier between the customer and the staff. Are our staff wearing masks at the front behind the?
Yep.
Are we complying with the governor's criteria? Because I don't think that there's anywhere out there right now. I mean, there's a lot of offices probably, but I don't think there's any governor or state or federal criteria telling what an office or a space, an enclosed space of workforce should be. I don't think that's out there. So 6 feet and a mask gets us by for now. Are we willing to gamble our reserve money? When we have a lot of other projects coming up, and if we could get a free building, I'd jump hoops to get that free building. But the gambling with our reserves, with all these other projects coming up and getting reimbursed in a timely manner, how can we be sure that that's gonna happen? Those are my concerns. Travis has got, you know, I just read somewhere where the guarantees on the paint are 20 years and 40 years. So the metal building per se is not a problem with me. I've gone over to the Ice House building. Do we know what year the Ice House building was built? It's way over 20 years.
A long time ago.
It was in the late 90s.
25 years ago?
Yeah, it was in the late 90s. That's 25 years on the Ice House. No metal degradation there. The cold storage is not too far behind the ice storage, and I can't find any degradation on that building, none whatsoever. And I know the roof on this metal building is 40 years, and the side panels are 20 years. I just read it somewhere here. So the metal building is not a big deal to me. But spending the money and getting that money reimbursed when our governor could say, or the federal government, wherever the COVID money is allowed from, could say anything. And with the election coming up, the way the politics are going, the Democrats and Republicans are fighting, I don't see, you know, they could pull the plug on that and we're out of business again. So my worry is the politics involved in free COVID money at $200,000. Have any other discussion from the board?
Well, this fire emergency is gonna be big.
They could play that right into COVID right now, any way, shape, or form they want, because they played COVID in every manner, shape, and form as it is. Everything is blamed on COVID right now. And they could blame, well, our funds had to go to fire, our funds had to go to riots, our funds had to go to enforcement. You know, we're sorry we don't have that money for your office, or how many other people are gonna have this federal COVID money, state COVID money, whichever it is. That really worries me when we've got some rock solid projects coming up. When I feel that our office is functional, roof isn't leaking, it's got a new paint job on it. Yeah, we could dress it up a little bit, for sure. But for now, is that where we want to gamble our reserve?
The ramp made it look nicer.
Yes, it sure did. Yes, it sure did. Gary?
I'm looking for the board's direction.
Okay. Joe?
I kind of agree with you.
Ken?
Well, you know, the thing that's driving this that makes it time sensitive is the fact that we don't know the repay, which also, that's a big gamble. When you look at the state's situation right now, we've got the COVID-19, we got the fires that are rampant, and the riots that are going on in Portland. I don't know how much money, and maybe you do, Gary, how much money is allocated to this program right now?
They started with $10 million.
How much?
They started with $10
million. $10
million. And about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when I was in an OPPA meeting, I think $1 million has been spent roughly on this program to special districts. That's earmarked for special districts. Of course, I know you could probably pull the money from whatever. Who knows? I'm sure they can pull the money from if they really need to pull the money for whatever emergencies they got. But right now, it's earmarked for special districts. And we have a contract that we can go up to $250,000 for COVID measures. So
the other concern I have, biggest concern actually, is if we were going to proceed on this, I don't see how we could do it without a contractor. You guys don't have time. You've got too many other projects going, and maybe you have the experience, but you simply don't have the time. And so unless somebody's going to be hired to fill one of your positions during that period of time, we need a contractor, and there's some out there that I think we could get, but we're not going to get a project like this done in 30 days. I mean, the permit process, did you check with the county? How long is a permit going to turn around? They're usually a couple of weeks minimum, and that's with the engineered drawings, the engineered slab. I don't know that I doubt that the metal building company provided engineered drawings for the slab. That's going to take Jack to do that. It's going to take time. Go ahead, Travis.
The building, it comes with
anchors.
Anchor positions for the slab.
They give you the position of anchor bolts. They don't give you the slab.
Okay.
To my knowledge, and maybe they are giving you the slab, but I don't see. If we approve this tonight, I don't see how you're going to have, what was the delivery time on the building?
Well, 3 weeks for engineer drawings, and then 8 weeks after that. So you're looking at 11 weeks. I already did the math. You're looking at November 30th when you see the building.
Yeah.
then you have 30 days to actually construct it by the end of the year.
You get your permits, you get your slab poured, but then, I mean, this kind of a project, my past experience is going to take 3 months, start to finish. I mean, that's, everything's flowing nicely. I don't know if that fits into the kind of timeframe that, and then we get into our reserves if we don't get repaid, so I have concerns there. You're the person that knows more whether it's reasonable, I think, more that if it'll get repaid or not. So I kind of have to lean towards what you're telling us. But I do, I think we absolutely have to have a contractor, whether we do cosmetic stuff on the outside. Again, I'll leave that to your call. That's all I have.
So does the Metal Building Corporation, do they come and erect the building?
No.
So it's all about a contractor?
Yep.
And the availability of contractors?
We haven't exactly looked into it. If you want a contractor right now, I would suspect that you probably could get one, but you're probably going to pay for it, which is probably going to blow us.
I can't hear you, Travis. I'm sorry.
I think if you wanted a contractor right now, you could probably find one. You said you wanted it right now. I think it's going to cost you a lot of money to get that person right now. And that's an if. We haven't looked into it. Another thing from last week to this week is all these fires that have started. If there's anything that's impacting anybody else,
it's going to be transportation and freight lines.
The cards aren't stacking well right now. So, I think we all need to remember too that if we decide not to do this, we still have there's still money that we can still get reimbursed through our bathroom cleaning, any extra measures that we find. It'd be nice for a new office, but we have to remember it's not the end of the world if we don't get a new office. All the work we put into it isn't all for naught. I think it all can go into our strategic business plan. I think we have good data on what we want, but we got to remember that if it's not going to work, it's not going to work. So
the only part that concerns me that doesn't work is if we don't get reimbursed. Then we put all of our reserves, we've just kissed them off.
Well, and we have to remember that we can't give you a yes or no either way on that. Like what Martha was saying in the last meeting, I think we're taking an educated stab at it. I don't think we're just throwing money right down the crab chute if we get it. But it's a big risk to take given the projects we have coming up, as well. So.
And if you were to receive that, how would we be sitting with the projects you do have coming up that, like, build off and things you have to pay first?
Right. It's still fun. All those projects are funded.
Right.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
We had a public question.
They put up steel buildings, and they don't even want you to get on the contract or get on the concrete because it takes 27 days for concrete to cure. They don't want you on that with any heavy equipment. So with the time restraint that you got, I mean, there's almost a month lost right there.
So let's, a question for Gary and Travis. We're all kind of stuck on a time frame question. What does the time frame have to do with the money, the $10 million, $9 million now, that is being divvied out? I mean, is this a competitive thing? If Port Orford and Bandon and Astoria and Florence and Newport all and us are all getting new buildings, is it first come, first served? Does that money run out?
As soon as the funds are used up, that $10 million is used up,
gone.
It's gone.
Because when this $500 free money was being handed out at all these banks, I was over in Central Oregon. And guess what? I got here 24 hours after I got that call from Al at the bike shop. Gone. $35 million.
Yeah.
gone in less than 48 hours at $500 a pop. We're looking at $200,000 a pop at 10 million, five offices. Let's see, five offices.
That's a million.
That's a million.
50. 50.
So it is first come, first served, as far as you.
For using the funds, yeah. It's either you can use up to $250,000 in our contract or until the funds are out, depleted. So if the other ports, if all the other districts use their $250,000 and they spend all that $10 million from all these other districts and we haven't spent our share, then we're done.
So. At whatever stage of construction we would be left in at that point in time, if we had only got $60,000 reimbursed, we'd be on the hoof for the rest of it to finish our own work.
Yeah, correct.
Any further discussion from the board? Gary?
No, I've already expressed my concerns. I think it's risky moving forward.
Travis?
I agree. I think we're definitely pushing the project, what we're trying to do and the time frame and the risks
Travis, I can't hear you.
The risks that are involved, I agree with Gary. It's probably a little risky to be trying to do right now, in our opinion.
Can we just get a consensus from the board? Joe, risky? Not risky? I mean.
Yeah, it's risky.
Ken?
Oh, it's definitely risky.
Sharon?
Very risky.
Roy? Very, very risky.
I think the port has worked very hard to get to the point we are right now, and
I don't,
it in jeopardy would not be good.
My opinion is that I would not like to see our staff fumble into something that looks really good. That's not guaranteed.
Right.
I mean, we have to guarantee payroll. We have to guarantee toilet paper money. We have to guarantee, you know, we might have some matching fund money we might have to come up with to use out of reserves. And Gary just made a statement that we have projects that are funded, big projects. And I think those projects all outweigh the brand new office at this point in time.
I would like to ask one more question.
Ken, please.
Gary, we just spent time doing, going through the budget and what our reserves, the double payments we were going to be making. If we did not get reimbursed, how will that affect all of our other plans that we've laid out for the last few months?
And specifically the double payments, Gary.
Well, I wasn't going to use the reserves for any of that anyway. So the reserves are actually a locked-in fund that you're not allowed to touch unless I get the board's approval to spend it. So I wasn't going to touch the reserves at all, making our extra payments and whatnot. So plan on making extra payments. It's not double payments, extra payments.
Extra
payments. When the time comes and the funds are available.
All right. Then how are we going to pay for this on the short term or the long term if it turns out that way?
For this particular project, we're hoping to get reimbursed.
I understand that, but if we do not,
then I'll be asking for the reserve funds. As I already stated that in the last meeting,
okay.
That we use reserve funds if we didn't get paid. And right now, after reviewing it more in detail, I think it's too risky to use our reserve funds for it.
Could we, any further discussion from staff, public? Board? Okay. Anybody like to make a motion? If not, I will.
Go ahead.
I would recommend the motion be that we do not proceed with COVID-19 money for our new office due to it's not guaranteed. It's somewhat of a gamble. I do not feel that it is a gamble that the port needs to take right now, so my motion would be not to proceed with COVID-19 money in any way, shape, or form for a new port office for the Port of Brookings Harbor at this time.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action items B, Zola's demolition project contractor selection. Gary?
Okay, so we got our bids in. We have two bids that responded to our invitation to bid. So, Jack Aiken and Martha did review our bids. Jack Aiken provided a summary of the bids. It's in a meeting packet. I don't know if you guys had time to read it.
I read it.
So one bid came in at $295,000. That was from Billiter Marine, and Clinton Excavation was $8,700.
How much?
$68,700, so it's McLennan Excavation.
Turn that for me now.
And paving.
And pave it, and then add our, a couple of catch basins.
And drainage.
And some drainage and, some curb. And then restripe as well.
What did we pay to have the green building taken down?
About $100,000. Actually, yeah, it was about $100,000.
That was a change order, yeah.
In the end, $97,000.
Right. Did you find it, Roy?
Find it, B.
Page 44.
Yeah, but I don't have page, I may get to it. 41. I read it at home, but, maybe there it is. No, that's not it either.
I got it.
Danielle, do I have a page 44 in this package?
Yeah, fall behind the line, though.
I looked in that. Maybe I didn't.
The color sheet is on top of it.
Yeah, didn't dig deep enough. The difference in the two bids is just hard to understand.
I think one bid is just a mistake. They didn't understand what they're doing on drawings, or they just miscalculated. It happens.
Who was the bidder for $18,000, Gary?
$68,000.
Okay.
$18,000.
The bidder was $18,700.
Above our budget.
Oh, okay.
So part, what I'm asking for the board here is to increase our budget to, by $18,700, to cover for the cost.
Don't have a problem with excavation, that's true. Been around a long time. Any discussion from the board, Joe?
It's too much.
Everything's expensive, truly is. I guess.
When you read Jack's description of it, it doesn't sound too much. The only question I have is, is this gonna be it? There's no hidden stuff that's gonna come back and want more money.
All depends on what's under the ground. Hopefully there's nothing there.
Is there anything, since that last one, the green building, is there anything in our bids or in our contracts that address that?
Like unforeseen?
Unforeseen, yeah, right.
But you can't cover unforeseen things.
Unforeseens are. it's always added, you know, unforeseen, you talk about it, you gotta come to a solution, they can either stop.
I understand that, and the work I do, I thoroughly understand it.
We don't foresee there being something like that, we are pretty confident that we've included everything, that we've looked at everything, we've had Jack look at it. You know, we're confident what we're doing, but.
What would be unforeseen in this?
12 feet of concrete?
Yeah, well.
Well, even if it was, you just gotta get it down below grade, and you can pave right over the top of it.
That's exactly what I plan on doing, is just pave over, if you see something extra concrete or something, we're just gonna pave over it.
Correct.
We've had the area located, there's not major utilities that we have to be concerned about,
What concerns me is, I don't want the port getting the reputation, you come in and lowball us and then come back and ask for more money. That's the concern I have, but as far as the bid goes, I don't have a problem, I have a problem with it, but it's what it is.
Incorrect, that's just it, it is what it is. Port staff can't be accountable for unforeseens, contractor can't be accountable for the unforeseens, if there are any. I don't foresee any unforeseens on this price, kind of a small area, number one. It's been tested for asbestos, found to be none, right, so there's a chance for that.
We're disconnecting all the utilities, we're removing the sewer.
Where is Harbor Sanitary on this?
So we have it in writing with them, we just, on the time that we disconnected, we dig it up, we call them, they come and visually inspect us, capping it off between Zola's and their main line. They weren't specific on where, so we're gonna dig it up right where the building's at, we're gonna call them, we're gonna cap it off right there after the sewer pump there, and.
Do we anticipate any unforeseens with Harbor Sanitary?
No, I don't.
Okay. So it's just a matter of them coming over, visually watching us cap that off, probably through their specifications, and then we get some kind of letter of recognition that that was done, some kind of certificate of work done to satisfactory?
Yeah, we'll get some sort of signature saying from them that it's disconnected. We have it in writing from them of what they're expecting, so.
Okay.
As long as we adhere to that, we'll be fine.
Any questions, Sharon?
No.
Ken? Joe? Any questions from the public? Look on the cat when you,
Is that thing out of pump?
Yeah.
So you're gonna bury the pit?
Yep. Fill with concrete.
Are we gonna be able to save some of that pump equipment, Travis?
Yep, I'm gonna pull the pump and all the electrical out of it.
Okay.
It's still a fairly new system.
Yeah, brand new. Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion?
Okay, motion. Motion to approve McLennan, how do you say their name?
McLennan.
McLennan Excavation, Inc., the lowest responsive bidder for the Zola's demolition project, authorized the port manager to execute the contract agreement and increase the budget for this work to $58,700.
I'll second that. Roll call, Danielle.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Information items. Dredge spoil information from Jack Aiken Engineers. And this is information that I requested from Travis. I think it's going to be, you're going to hear about compaction and capping. So
Roy asked, if we bring back some information from our engineer about...
Mike, the mic, please.
In the last meeting, Roy asked about If the dredge spoils were going to be adequate to use for compaction on our project. So attached is Jack's answer. You know, I think as long with what Jack's saying, as long as we use it in the center and compact top and bottom, then it's adequate material.
Right. So we're just basically using it for a filler.
Yeah, last page.
Right.
Very last one. Right there.
Okay. So Roy is absolutely right. Dredge spoils, primarily of sand, should not be used as subbase. There are some variance in grain sizes. In this material, because of the higher than normal amount of silt, the characteristics help the better compaction. But again, it should not be used as sub-base. Sub-base must be larger rock compacted with underlying geofabric to allow moisture movement without allowing sand to work up through the sub-base. On top of that, sub-base must be 4 to 9 feet of 9 inches of compacted 3/4 minus angular stone leveling course, which will mix in part with the asphalt to form a firm mat. A roll test must be performed as specified in the drawings. The roll test is a compaction test. It's a core sample. We must, by the way, be assured that the dredge material is dry and compacted prior to further construction. In some areas, this will be very quick, but there are a few areas where the underlying soils are not so pervious, and the draining process may take a little longer, pervious meaning it doesn't drain as quick. We may find that we will need to put an extra 6 inches of heavier rock beneath the above-described construction. More specific construction design will be performed the final construction drawings. Nevertheless, Roy's concern is well taken, and we will take extra care on this, especially since we have such a large total area where we're using the dredged sand and silt. We know the physical properties of the port of Brooklyn Sands because we have analyzed it several times in several locations during sampling events in the recent past. Also, we do have room in the budget to bring a geotech and or a qualified geologist in for some consulting as well. Please let me know if there are any more concerns. Read this. Or others. There are no unimportant questions. Better safe than sorry. As an engineer, it's been my experience that a good question can save us all a lot of embarrassment, make it a better project. So there's our answer from Jack. So our dredge spoils can be used adequately, I believe, especially let's see, somewhere Jack said he's going to put material below the silt, then the silt, then other materials on top of the silt. So
right.
I think he's dead on. And we need to use that dredge spoils instead of having it all up to save a lot of money. So thank you for that, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And a very, very well-written statement by Jack Aiken.
Yeah.
That was.
I have a question.
Yes, Ken.
We're going to take the sand over there. Is that going down before this geofabric goes down?
I don't believe so.
Geofabric goes on top of the silt,
right.
The sand itself.
Correct.
It'll dry, it'll be compacted. You roll your geofabric over the top to let moisture through so it doesn't have the ability to work its way back up to your subbase.
What I'm looking at is we got 4 to 9 inches of compacted 3/4 minus, and then we possibly have 6 inches of heavy rock above that.
He's saying that the 6 inches of rock might be below it in some areas to help contain the bottom. So you might have rock at the bottom, and then you have dredge spoils, and then subbase on top of that, basically capturing it both ways.
And he could put that fabric below. He could put that on the ground.
If you put rock first, the rock first in some cases where we'd have to, where the ground's not as impervious or it won't let water through, you'd put rock underneath that. You'd put geofabric on top of that. And then geofabric again on top of that is the way that layer would
work. Then we're looking at putting asphalt on top of all of this.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Price per square foot is getting astronomically high.
Hmm. It's in the budget and it's in the engineering.
It is, is part of that, of our grant money.
It's all part of the FEMA project that we're going after with.
So there's no out of pocket there for the port, for square foot on that path.
This is all part of our FEMA project that we've been, that we're working towards.
And if there are any matching funds, is that covered by Business Oregon?
That's what we're in the process of working on right now, Business Oregon, with the help of the HMGP grant.
So there would be no out of pocket cost for that square foot for that pad that we're talking about right now?
That's the way we're working towards.
Correct. So, does that help you, Ken?
I'm.
No out of pocket from the port, that's all the FEMA.
I'm sorry?
There's no out of pocket money for the port on that particular pad. Any other discussion or questions for Gary from the board? Ken?
No.
Joe? Public?
God, the public's getting these shit over.
Travis?
No.
Gary?
Nope.
Okay, moving on to commissioner comments, Joe?
Nothing.
Ken?
I think you guys did a great job on this port office, sorry. Doesn't quite work yet, maybe it will shortly.
And I would like to reassure what Ken just said, that you guys came back, that was absolutely, the Jack Aiken compaction, metal building questions we had, I mean, you know, Gary wasn't here. He did a spectacular job, Gary, on your behalf when you were not here, he ran it absolute, he was very well prepared, he didn't stutter, he was awesome. I'm very proud of him, did a great job. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you.
And then all the other stuff that we're going through, like our staff now is working on all this smoke. Hopefully we got them some good mask, something that's not, you know, gotta be better.
They really need the 95.
The 95s.
All the ash, masks don't stop it.
But I do, gotta reaffirm what Ken just said, you guys did a great job. And I think we have a great team, things are going really well. And on the new office building, sorry I couldn't go with that. I don't mean to deny you a luxury of any kind, but I am partial to the, to those, what are we calling those, posters?
Construction planning.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff up there that's funded. I think we have enough projects going on right now to keep us busy for a while. As long as the roof don't leak, we're coming into the rainy season, as long as that roof don't leak on that building over there and ruin equipment or anything like that, I think we can go another spell in that office building. Great meeting, Sharon?
Well, I agree with what you said, Roy, and I really appreciate you guys taking the extra time and effort that you put into all the paperwork you brought to us today for this building. I'm sorry that we weren't able to give you at this time, but I hope in the future, not too far off, we can move forward with something.
And I think the way the finances are going, I think not too far from the building and stick builder, metal builder, however we feel, and I don't think that's too far down the road. Right now, we are still in very, very bad, negative political situation in the world. We got an election come up that could just go not good. But there's a lot of future in the next couple months. It's going to rely on our election in the United States of America. And anybody else got anything to say? Our next regular meeting will be Tuesday, September 15th, 2020 at 6 p.m. in this very meeting room we're in right now. With that being said, this meeting is adjourned.